Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is your host, Margaret, and I want to welcome you to the Labrish this evening. Wherever you are, I know the weather is improving all over the world, so wherever you are, I hope you can pretend you're under your favorite mango tree or whatever your favorite fruit was when you grew up in Jamaica, or perhaps in your beach chair or around your pool or whatever puts you in that mood of just being ready for a lavish with a group of friends that you're just going to relax, leave your worries of the day behind, and reminisce and chill. So I want to welcome all my listeners online and also those that are calling in. And if you got the promo, you know that this evening, the backyard, as usual, is always pleased when we can announce some positive things about what's happening in our country, about our country, or is being done by our country folks. So this evening we are going to labrish and highlight several Jamaicans and perhaps people born of Jamaican parents, and they're usually scattered all over, but as I say, we little but we talawa, because we are doing some very, very interesting, unusual, and worthy things all over the world. We're really leaving our mark. And the first person, and I want to remind our listeners that you can always raise your hands and join the labrish. So the first person that I want to talk about tonight is pretty close to the United States, as most of our listeners will know, that this backyard labrish is originating in the U.S., in the city of Atlanta, Georgia. I'm a Georgia prune, and my passion with the program is to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica. So it's always my pleasure to welcome listeners in the backyard and have them join me in the labrish. But I want to tell you, a lot of our listeners might know, but some might not know, that Mr. Newton Marshall, I featured him before. He was the Musha. As a matter of fact, his show is now on the Blog Talk website as one of the favorite shows in the backyard. In other words, that show has been downloaded more than any other show so far. And he has made the news again. Now, this time I'm reading from some information that was sent to me. And it says the Jamaican bobsled team caused somewhat of a sensation in 1968 when they took part in the Winter Olympics, inspiring the Hollywood film Cool Runnings. Bobsled, however, is child's play compared to the Iditarod, a 150-mile dog sled race across the icy wilderness of Alaska that is hailed as one of the world's greatest endurance tests. Now, remember that word, endurance test. And we're talking about cold, cold country. And here we have a Jamaican. Now, this year, a Jamaican is vying to become the first black musher to compete the annual contest. Now, that is part of what I did about him last year. But he also entered into a race in Canada. And by garnet, the show that was done about him when he did that race, he completed the race, which a lot of the starters don't. People who have done it for years, you know, they wear out, their endurance wear out, or their dogs wear out, or something happened, and it is quite an accomplishment just to finish the race. So not only did he complete the race that time, but he also has entered another race in Canada, and this time he came in first. He was number one. So we want to hail Mr. Newton Marshall tonight as a trailblazer. And we are going to be doing different segments about people who, you know, it's not just from the endurance point of view, but it's perseverance in different arts, in different disciplines, and have really made a difference and made the news, and of course, always making us proud here in the backyard. So again, I want to welcome our listeners. I see the board, people on the board from 631-718, and I'm sure we have quite a few listeners online. So I want to welcome you and remind you, for the listeners online, if you want to interact with the conversation, the Labrish, please dial, you'll have to dial in on your phone, and that number you'll dial will be 718-766-4558. That's the dial-in number. So I'm sorry that I'm not able to interact with you on the computer because I can't do two things at once, you know. I just celebrated that big birthday. We're not even going to talk about the number right now. But as everyone knows, I bill myself as the senior's senior, so I don't know that I'll be able to interact with you online at the same time. So for now, you'll just have to enjoy listening on your computer as we reminisce and talk about all the great things that about Jamaica and what Jamaicans are doing. And here again on the board, I need some interaction in the Labrish. So when my callers want me to plug them in, just hit 1 on your telephone, and you will certainly join the Labrish. So now let's talk about what's happening close to us in terms of Canada. In Canada, a Jamaican-born policeman has been appointed to the second highest rank in the Canadian police force. And he's not only the also the youngest person that was ever appointed to that particular, he's the youngest person that was ever appointed to that post, but he's the first Jamaican and also the youngest person to be appointed in that post. And of course, everyone knows that, you know, Jamaicans are in the minority, like most people of color is in the small minority in Toronto. So to have it to be a Jamaican and the youngest is quite an accomplishment. And for people who know names, you perhaps know someone with this last name or perhaps one of his relatives, but his last name is Slowly. And his parents are Michael and Arthurine, Slowly, spelled Slowly. And I'm really very proud of this young man because he talked about his parents being his role models. And, you know, on this show, I'm always encouraging parents and grandparents and just older people to always remember that you can become a role model for someone, even if it's not your child or your relative, but it's encouragement and things that young people can reach for that have them reach these goals. So I'm always appealing to the senior citizens and the parents to really remember that we can leave a legacy behind by inspiring someone, whether they're related to us or not. So let me tell you a little bit about this particular young man. Now, he was born in Jamaica, and I'm just getting my notes together here, so bear with me. I know that he has lived in Canada for quite a while. He has come up the ranks, up the ranks slowly. You know, a lot of people want to just get to the top right away. But if we see all the people who have really accomplished great things, it's always, you know, starting off and refining your craft, getting better and better at it. And every time I talk about accomplishments, I have to keep celebrating some of the words of our dear Professor Rex Nettleford, because he talked about, you know, life being a long distance. It's a long distance race, not a sprint. And that brings me to the thought that a lot of people get discouraged when they don't get to the top of their game as fast as they think they should. But it don't always happen that way. You know, sometimes you have to start from the bottom and work your way up to the top. And that is exactly what this young man did. So I'm getting my notes together, so I'm going to fill you in a minute. I have a technical problem today because I have to confess to my listeners that, you know, the technology is wonderful, but when it breaks down, boy, you are in trouble. My internet connection went dead on me today, just like 20 minutes before the show. Lucky for me, I could get over to a neighbor's house to do this broadcast. You know, the technology is cool, but when you're totally dependent on it, you can run into some snags. So we're having a little snag this evening because I'm out of my house. I don't have my notes. I'm trying to get them reprinted, and we're having a little problem here. But I'm going to tell you a little more about Mr. Slowly. Chief Deputy Slowly whose family left Jamaica in 1976, joined the Toronto Force in 1988. Now, during the past 21 years in the Force, he has served as unit commander in charge of operational services, staff planning, and community mobilization. He also worked in Major Crime Youth Bureau and Public Order. Now, in 2001, he went to Kosovo as part of the United Nations peacekeeping mission and was a commanding staff officer and the Canadian contingent commander. As deputy chief of the police in charge of executive command, he now oversees several units, which include professional standards, investigative risk management, and legal services. Now, as you can see, that this young man is quite diverse. Now, in 1976, Jamaica joined the Toronto Police Force. He joined the Toronto Police Force. No, this is not right. I'm getting my notes together. Please forgive me. What's happening there? All right, let me just tell you a little bit more. Let's skip down the road. In 2001, he went to Kosovo, as I mentioned before. Now, his discommission was recent. All right, I think that I'm getting into a little problem here. So just suffice it to say that we have a star that has risen in Toronto. He's not just of Jamaican parents. He is a Jamaican born. So I just want to celebrate him and to congratulate him and to know that we can be proud that our Jamaican boy, our Jamaican born men and women are serving not only in the place where they were born, but all over the world. So we can really be proud of that. He's the first black person appointed deputy chief, and that is a lot, to be the first black and to be Jamaican. So join me in celebrating Mr. Slowly and his parents. Because, you know, a lot of times, as I always mention, there is usually a lot of emails being passed about all the negative things that are happening all over the world. So I wanted to take this week just to talk about some of the, they might not be, you know, icons or a lot of known by millions of people, like some people like our dear beloved Rex and people like the artists we discussed last week. But in their own way, they're making a contribution to the world and making our country proud. And as I said, this young man said his parents are his role models. So I really want to thank those parents for that and to use this to encourage parents to become role models for their children, whether they're young or teenagers. You know, we have to know that that is how we leave our legacy, is to leave something good behind in the people that we nurture. So now let me tell you about another first for Jamaica, and something that's very special, and people in sports will really love this one. The world's tallest teen, T-E-E-N, happens to be a Jamaican young lady. Boy, I'm telling you, they talk about you staying on the yams, but I don't know what she's eating. It must be the yam stew. Because she is the tallest young lady in the world in that age group. Now, she's only 16 years old, and she plays netball. She's a netball starlet. as they call her. Her name is Mara Dean, M-A-R-V-A-D-E-N-E, Anderson. And she is, her height is 6 feet 11 inches tall, and she's only 16. I find that to be amazing. And I think that girls continue to grow, or I think most young adults continue to grow until they're 21. So I don't know. Her clothes is perhaps going to have to be specially crafted. Now, one thing, they didn't put what size shoe she wore, but I thought that was quite interesting. But she has been declared the world's tallest teenager in a December article published in the New York Post. Now, her high school was Irwin Allen High School. She was a student there, and she is from the district of Prospect in Clarendon. And she has earned herself a basketball scholarship to Rutgers Prep here in the United States. Now, she has already grabbed the attention of America's, you know, people, the people who look for people to play professional, scouts, I think they're called, because of how tall she is. And, of course, all of the scouts know that the Jamaican athletes are special because of Houston. So, you know, they're already eyeing her she's not ready for professional netball or basketball yet, I'm sure. But they're calling her a baby giant. And she's just settling into, you know, what she's doing now here. But I thought that was quite interesting, to be the world's tallest teenager. And so we have something there to celebrate again. And not only that, she is pursuing a career. And that is why and it's not just a sports career. I mean, she is making sure, she's only 16, so she has quite a ways to go. But it seemed to me that she's perhaps going to branch out into different, you know, things that you can do when you're tall. So who knows? We might be reading a lot about this young lady. So here again, I want to invite you all that is listening to join the Labrish. As I said, I'm trying to ad-lib here because my equipment broke down and I had to seek refuge or fill in from my neighbor, and I don't have all my props. So bear with me, and let's get the Labrish rolling. So again, I want to thank everybody for being here. I want to remind you that the purpose of Backyard Labrish is to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich culture of Jamaica. We get together once a week to sit in our favorite chair and to talk about things that inspire us, that remind us of our homeland. Now, some of us are not planning to go back to retire or go back to live. I think some people are, but I know most of my friends and myself, we are sort of settled into retirement, some of us already. But you've heard the saying, once a man, twice a child. I suppose it applies to many aspects of maturing, you know, and becoming a senior. And you start thinking about things that embraced you and supported you when you were young, things that were fun, things that were beautiful. You just start remembering a lot of things. And for me, doing this broadcast once a week has been just so inspiring. I think it has given me a new lease on life because I have actually found out a lot more about my heritage and my country since I've retired in another country than I found out when I lived there and went to school, because they were not teaching as much about Jamaica at the time as they taught about England and perhaps some of the other Caribbean islands. We didn't learn a lot about the United States in the, you know, 40s and 50s, 30s, 40s and 50s. But I think they're doing a lot more of that now. However, there is a lot of history and things that happened, some of them very dramatic and earth-shaking, and others not so much, but are very interesting. And now that we have time to kick back and reminisce, I would like for you, everyone listening, to join me in celebrating our heritage and join me in enlightening the world about the wonderful things, not just the music and the beaches and the, you know, whatever, but a lot of the culture that don't get a chance to be shared, especially by the tourists, because most times, like when we go to a particular country, we just go there, enjoy whatever we went to enjoy, and leave. We don't really get a true taste for the culture. So I'm hoping that people, my fans, that come and listen at their leisure, because you don't have to always call in. You can click in and just listen while you read your email or anything else, or you just want to relax in a chair anytime and just listen to what is being discussed. Sometimes I have people participate in the labrish, and sometimes I just have to labrish on my own, and it seems like tonight is one of them. So let me tell you now about somebody else who, and I just sort of picked these people at random because I thought that it was so interesting about, you know, their what they aspired to or what they were in the news for, because a lot of times in all over the world, and especially Toronto that I'm talking about now, as well as some of the other American cities, there is news that is not very complimentary about Jamaica or Jamaicans. So I love to talk about anything in the news. I wanted to get more energy, if it's positive, about things that people just need to know about us. So we are blazing a trail all over the world. So let me tell you about another Jamaican in another far place, far away from home. As a matter of fact, I don't know if I can pronounce this particular city correctly, but I'm going to ask for help from my callers in. This is a city, I think it's in Japan, and it's spelled H-A-R-A-J-U-K-U. Harajuku. And my intellectual fan is online, and I'm hoping he'll put his hand up so that he can help the senior here who's having a senior moment. And I'm waiting for that raised hand. So somebody join the labrish here. Don't leave me out in my chair alone. I'm not by the ocean. Okay, here you go. I see a raised hand. So let me see if there's someone else who read about this interesting person that's going to join me. I'm opening up the mic. Good evening. Welcome to the backyard. Who do I have from 718-379?
That's Lay in the Bronx.
Just Lay, in the Bronx?
Yeah, Lay in the Bronx. Well, it's off season, so, but we're still at home with the Yankees. New York, okay. Yankees, the world champions.
All right. Thank you, sir. You made your point.
Mm-hmm.
Do you pronounce H-A-R-A-J-U-K-U?
Harajuku.
Ah, so I got it close. It was close enough. Harajuku. And I suppose this article didn't say it's in Tokyo. It was in a Tokyo newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I thought, was the cutest. Now, the article, I'm going to be reading from the article, then we'll do our sidebar. It says, never put your dreams on hold, is what Yvonne Goldson inscribed in an autograph copy of her Patois handbook, a Jamaican-Japanese dictionary and bestseller in its fifth edition since first being published in 1998. Now, Goldson should know. She left her post at an international law firm for the kitchen of her new Jam Rock Cafe, Tokyo's newest outpost for authentic Jamaican cuisine, located in the heart of Harajuku. Ain't that something? Jam Rock is the euphoria for Jamaican food and Jamaican rock steady rhythms and reggae music. And Jamaicans refer to it as their island nation. It's what we Jamaicans call the island when things are going good, good. So she is blazing a trail in Tokyo, in that city in Tokyo, with her restaurant. And as you know, she apparently wrote a dictionary, a Patois dictionary. And I said, wow. And this article had a picture of her restaurant, which is quite gorgeous. It is, you know, well-appointed, very elegant, and they had pictures of the food, and she is just doing her thing. And Jamaicans, you know, Jamaicans are scattered all over the world. Leigh, did you have a chance to see this article about this pioneering woman?
Yes, I did.
Well, what were your thoughts on it?
Well, I thought that this Louise Bennett resurrected or something like that. You know, she has such an engaging smile.
Right.
That I'm sure even if she wasn't selling Jamaican food, she would still be attractive to people wherever she went. But this is very unusual in Japan. They don't usually open up to outsiders in this vein, you know.
But listen to this. This is her speaking. I first came to Japan to find a publisher for my book, recounts Goldson, of her initial reason to make the voyage to Japan. Mm-hmm. On a year's leave from work due to a car accident in Los Angeles, so that's where she was living, apparently, both Goldson went back to school where a friend encouraged her to study Japanese. Now, listening to reggae music on the way to classes, her interest was piqued when she discovered the similarities in the Japanese phonics and the Jamaican patois. Now, I just want to point some things out to my listeners as I read these interesting things, because part of what I'm trying to do here, Leigh, if you see my point, is to use other people's story to hopefully inspire some of us young people or parents of young people that might have an idea or a gift. So here, she was actually learning Japanese when she got this idea that apparently the pronunciation or some of it reminded her of patois, or sounded some of it like patois. Mm. So that's when she got the idea of developing the dictionary for Japanese words and Jamaican patois. Isn't that something?
Sure is.
You would think that one would be thinking of doing it in English. So she took her own path. You know, she didn't follow what would be the norm. She did something outside the box.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
You can always depend on a Jamaican to be innovative. And certainly this comes under that heading.
Definitely. And that's what I picked up as I read the article. You know what I mean? Is that, and they're always thinking, at least she was. And that is what I encourage. She was aware of the nuances in how the words sound. And I'm sure she was, you know, inspired by it. It was like a new discovery. I know how I feel when I discover something that I didn't know before, and it really just tickles me. I'm just inspired. I'm like a kid once more. So it's not like she was a teenager, or I don't know why she set out to. It might have. She worked for an international law firm. The article didn't go into too many details about that, except that she worked for an international law firm in Los Angeles. But I can just imagine that it may be because of that connection why she was studying Japanese. You know what I mean?
Well, that too, but, you know, it's also possible, if you want to speculate, that she was on business, let's say, over there, and one thing led to another, and she saw an opening.
Right,
and,
right.
And the seed was planted.
Mm-hmm.
So she capitalized on it big time, and she's a real success story.
Very successful. And she is really, you know, presenting herself and the whole experience, the whole Restaurant Jamrock experience, in a very tasteful way that apparently is working. You know,
and by tradition, Japanese people are very conservative.
Uh-huh.
And to get a success story like this over there,
uh-huh,
I mean, you got to really pay her a lot of respect. And
yes, and that is why I really wanted to mention her for the our listeners that might not know. And I mean, she might never know about this, but you know, I just want to celebrate her. And use her as a medium to encourage young people. If they have a dream or an idea, regardless of what is happening around us in whatever country we live, there are always opportunities. And a lot of times if you get so caught up in what you can't do, then, you know, something simple that you can do, at least make a start. Your goal might be a big one, but you can't just get there or start in the middle. You just start with nurturing one first step. And I can see here that her first step was to learn the language.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then it expanded from that. Now, I am sure that it perhaps was not easy for her, as she, you know, she was recuperating from an accident and all of that stuff, and, you know, away from her job and her peers and all of that. But she utilized the time. And then, you know, all you need to do is to start on the path. And a lot of times the universe opens up a door for you and you get help.
Yeah.
So we have to really, really keep encouraging ourselves sometimes that we can't, you know, get to the goal right away, but we can't give up on the original goal. And, you know, the goals change. Sometimes they get bigger. Sometimes you have to talk for a while at a stage of the development of your idea or your passion, but you don't have to, you know, kill it. You don't have to bury it. You just preserve it to build at another opening. Because it mentioned here, you know, that she, and it takes a lot of discipline, I know. It's one thing I have to encourage the younger folks. You know, don't be discouraged. You gotta be disciplined for whatever you are doing. And learn as much as you can about your craft or about your industry or about your job, no matter how menial that you may feel the job is. You know, it's being the best that you can be at whatever you do. That is important. Because it's not about the boss or whoever. It's really about you. Because when you know you have done your very best, then regardless of how many accolades, the accolades are nice and they're good and they're always required, but you personally can feel good about yourself. And once you start feeling good about yourself, then it will radiate and other people will start feeling good about you. And things will start to move in a different direction. So I want to celebrate this young lady in whatever city. And that she seemed to be quite settled because her goal is to expand. You know, I don't know. Do you know much about the geography of Tokyo? I mean, isn't it a big city, Lei?
Of course, Tokyo is a big city. Yeah.
And from what I understand, she's just in one area, like you would have the Bronx,
yeah.
I suppose, in New York.
Right. And, you know, so if you open this is hypothetical, that if you're in a big city and you opened up a business and it's successful, naturally you're going to be thinking of expanding.
Mm-hmm.
And from all indications, it seems that she's well on her way. So maybe the next time you hear about her, she's got four or five or whatever, restaurants there, because she's probably going to enlist Japanese to open up a place. It's just like, this is how McDonald's started, you know.
Right.
And look at McDonald's now.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, the sky may be the limit.
Right. When we did the history of the Salvation Army, remember, it was started by this one man in England and his wife. And then the people who brought it to Jamaica were two people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But from that one person in England who had that idea, look at the organization that, you know, spun off from that. They're the number one. So the whole point is your idea or your passion can germinate, and it's like a small seed, and long after you're gone, keep expanding. So let me give you some words from Golson herself. She said at one point, it is good to be naive, Golson replied when she was asked a question. When asked about her advice to Tokyo entrepreneurs, she says, if you think too much about what obstacles you may face, you may talk yourself out of doing it. Just go and do it. Follow your dream. Her dream was a vision of cooking good Jamaican food and providing a familiar atmosphere for people to unwind. That was her dream. And, you know, she started with that idea. And now people are so happy when they go to her restaurant. And I'm sure in a couple of years, we will be reading about her again. That was something came out in the Tokyo newspaper.
You bet. It sounds to me like your listeners or yourself may be familiar with the pub atmosphere in England.
Uh-huh.
And it's a place for up and mobile people to go in their neighborhood and unwind.
Mm-hmm.
And just chill out, you know.
Right.
It seems to me that this could be a similar thing, as well as, of course, they have entertainment as well. But the pub atmosphere is unbelievable. When I go to England, I always want to go to a pub because, you know, there in an atmosphere like that, you learn more about the people, the locals, the customers.
Sure, yes.
Than you would normally. You wouldn't get that anyway. If you go to a high-strung cocktail party, it's so, what's the word I want? It's not natural, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you go to a pub and it all hangs out, you know. People just get up and start singing karaoke and this, that, and the other. And it's,
they are being themselves, then,
being
in other
themselves.
Words.
Right. So she's gonna do well there, and we'll hear from her again, I'm sure.
Right. So I see that another one of my loyal fans would like to join the library, so I'm going to open up the mic. Just hang in there for a minute, please. And the mic is now open to 631-451. Welcome to the library. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from, please. Hello? Let me see if your mic is open. No, just a minute. Technical difficulty here. I'm using somebody else's computer, so bear with me. And your mic is open now. Hi, I'm opening up for 631-451. Welcome to the Labrish.
Hi, Margaret. This is Janine from Long
Island. Hi, Janine. How are you today?
Fine, thanks.
Well, oh, great.
Just listening to what you were saying about this lady in Japan.
Uh-huh.
I would think that what she's doing is great because what she's doing, she's using the jamrock, which is the music, to draw the people.
Right.
Know, all over the people, they're into the Bob Marley music and things like that.
Right.
And usually when you have that type of atmosphere with the music, people will come in, and at that point you can introduce different type of food to them, which normally they would try. So,
right. Well, she seemed to be really a success.
Right.
You know,
right.
And what is intriguing to me about her is the fact that she speaks the language, you know, and she's coming from working in a law firm.
Right.
But apparently she can also cook. And you would think that there would not be a lot of Jamaicans in the city,
right,
that she, in this particular city where in Tokyo where she is, but apparently there is, and not only Jamaicans, but people who have visited, and as you said, people who are just drawn to the music and the culture.
Right.
Because as Lay said, you know, people there are more conservative than perhaps some other parts of the world, you know. So, but even in a conservative environment, we can introduce our culture in a way that is not intruding on them, and they can sort of, you know, integrate it into their style. And it brings me, you know, when you're in Rome, you do as the Romans do. Perhaps you might have to you know, cut down on the pepper a little in the patty or whatever you have to do to make it more easier for them to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that is a fact. I'm just using that
right
as a possibility. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But to me, I am just inspired to know that there are Jamaicans and people that, you know, are fans of Jamaica or children of Jamaica that are making a positive impact all over the world, just all over the world. in the, almost every little nook and cranny.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that phrase?
Yes. English muffin.
American, or a Jamaican, or a Jabrit, or somebody. But I think that one of the things is the inspiration and the things we got when we were growing up as kids.
Right.
You know, because for the majority of Jamaicans that grew up in the 30s and 40s and 50s, life was a lot more secure, and there was not as much fear. There was, you know, a lot of support.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like, to me, building a strong foundation for the things that are needed to be brave and endure and, you know, all of those things as you mature.
Right.
You know what I mean? You have that foundation. And I know that the world has evolved and everything has changed. Technology has made a lot of things easier, and you can have access to information a lot faster, and, you know, it's just not the same. However, we still have to always remember the basic, that with the younger generation, it is important to have that strong foundation. It is very, very important, because that is what is going to sustain them through whatever path they're taking, because it's not everybody going to have it easy, even with all that we have around us. You know what I'm trying to say?
Right.
So we need, at least I like to remind my listeners and my fans, to encourage the people around them to really invest in the younger generation, because as older people, a lot of times we tend to just write them off. You know, they're up to no good, and they're not going to account to anything, and they can't be bothered, and they don't want to listen to us, and it's not important, and, you know, that kind of thing. But it is. We have to make it important. And I don't say we have to badger them, but we have to remember that we have to set the examples, and we have to keep planting the seeds.
Well, remember the saying, a kind word taketh away wrath. You have to know how to get around to them, you know.
Right, right, force, right.
Brute force and ignorance really don't work all the time.
Right.
There's a subtle part to it that you can figure out the child and, you know, figure out how you're going to deal with the child and which is the best way to do that.
Right.
And if you do it the right way, then you get the attention.
Right. Now, I want to bring a little thought that I got from being, you know, into marketing. And it's about, you know, there's a big difference between spending time and investing time.
Right.
If you think of what, when we spend anything, you know, it just goes. You spend money.
Mm-hmm.
You just use it. It's gone. But if you invest, you expect a return on your investment.
Yes.
Now, a lot of times we don't get the return we want.
No.
You know, it's not as high as we want it to be. But when it comes to individuals, and especially the younger generation, we have to think of what we're doing for them as an investment,
mm-hmm.
in time,
mm-hmm.
in interest, and in money. You know, that is going to perhaps pay a dividend. We might not have be around,
right.
But it will pay a dividend to the planet, to humanity, you know, and to their community.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think that you're wasting time when you give attention to anything, even if you might not see the results right away.
Mm-hmm.
Am I making sense?
Yes.
Okay, because sometimes I just...
When you
I know
it's very fast. When you invest, you take your time and you make sure everything is going in order.
And usually, you don't expect a return right away.
No.
You know, so that's what I'm encouraging. Don't expect that is going to take root right away? And if they don't do, or you don't think they get it right away, you just give up.
Yeah.
You know, you have
something that sinks in, you know. Yeah.
Right. You have to know that, think of it as if you're investing in something. So you have to wait until it expands. And, you know, sometimes it's go up and down, but, you know, it will eventually pay off. So that's what I want to sort of wrap all of this around tonight and encourage my listeners. And, of course, we're here to celebrate Jamaica, but I would like to encourage all the seniors, no matter where they're from and they're wanting to celebrate, is to be encouraged that they're making an investment in the younger generation when they help them through whatever things, challenges, or if it's a word of encouragement, or just taking an interest in them or checking on them, are being totally involved with them, because we're all at different stages with different people. There are some people that just can volunteer to help a child, some straight young person. And it doesn't have to be a child, anybody that is going to, it's going to be an investment. So you don't have to be discouraged if you don't see the return right away.
Right.
Just take a heart in the fact that you are doing something that you will be leaving behind, something good that you can leave behind. We're almost out of time, so I want to really, really, as usual, just thank all of my fans for being so supportive. Our numbers are really getting up there. People are listening to the shows, perhaps not calling in, but listening to the shows at their leisure. And I want to remind everybody that we also have a website, which is backyardlabrish.com. And we're here each week in the backyard, where we're always discussing something different. Next week, I think we're going to have a special guest. But it's a casual conversation. We're not on any special platform, political or religious or any of that stuff. We gather here to relax and chill. And as Leigh and Janine said, you know, if you can just take time off to unwind and get somebody else's idea about something, it's a good experience. So we hope each time you visit with us, it is a good experience, and that you'll be able to learn something from some of our Labrish folks that are interacting with us, or some that have in the past. And always remember that you can copy the URL on any show you listen to and send that particular link to one of your friends or family that you think may have an interest in that particular show. And we hope that you will come often and stay long. So, Miss Janine,
yes,
I thank you for being here with us tonight. I hope you enjoyed our little Labrish.
Sure did.
And I hope that next week I will be in my own house and will be more fluent with my information. But I know that my fans are very forgiving, and so I hope that they have enjoyed my blunders and will continue to listen.
Yes.
Mr. Leigh, do you have some parting word?
No, just to say that in New York we were having 40-mile-an-hour winds, although the temperature was 60.
Uh-huh.
But tomorrow is another day, and we're looking for a lovely day in New York tomorrow.
Wonderful. We had a fairly good day here today. It was a little windy, too, but, you know, it was sunny and bright. I think the weekend is going to be rainy again. We have been really having a lot of rain. On Monday morning, we even had some sleet.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, we had definitely some sleet. It didn't stick at all, but and the weather has been quite chilly.
Crazy weather.
Right, right.
Well, one of these days we'll come down and help you out with your manipulation of the computer.
Well, I am looking forward to that. I want to ask any of my listeners that if you ever want to reach me, either reach me on backyardlabrish.com, on the, right on the radio station that you're listening, when you click, you get to Blog Talk Radio's homepage. You can send me a message there. You can become a fan. You can become a friend. You know, they have all of this social thing going on. You can send me a special message. If there's something in particular you want me to research for you, I remember, as long as it's something positive. And I really want to take some time to thank a lot of my fans online that send me information that they've researched, you know, that or they came across, and they will send me information about a particular, you know, thing that has to do with celebrating and enlightening and preserving the rich culture of Jamaica. Someone sent me a very, very interesting film that was broadcast, I think, in China. It was a travel log that was done by a Chinese radio station that actually sent one of their reporters to Jamaica, you know, and the cameraman followed them right through the whole island tour. And that was very, very interesting. And I'm, as soon as I get a little more technical or have someone to help me, I will see if I can, you know, sort of intersperse some of that information when I get it on audio within the Labrish, so we can have a little
would,
more.
That would be good. You could convene a showing on the computer side,
mm-hmm,
of it, rather than the radio, one night in particular.
Yes, yes, yes. So I'm going to be researching that. And next week, I think we may be having a very senior citizen who one of my fans have located that is going to share with us some of her experiences, because this particular senior is in her 90s, I understand. So she would have a little more information of what life was like in her part of Jamaica at that time. And she has an excellent memory, I hear. So I will be looking forward to interviewing her and then having it, you know, play during our session next week. So for those of you who really want to hear from a little more senior than me, you can be sure to tell your friends to be sure to tune in next week, because we're going to be talking to a very senior person who is anxious to share with the world her memories of growing up in Jamaica. So I promise you that I'll have that for you next week. So again, thank you for visiting the backyard. We hope you enjoyed this Labrish tonight. And I encourage you to really make it a great week. Bye.
Good night. Bye.